football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the CBFA podcast. I'm James, and joining me again is Cole. Welcome, Cole.
Howdy, howdy. It's good to be back once again for another podcast.
Right on. So we had a Thursday game this week, and we just finished up a slate of four Saturday games to finish off week two. So starting on Thursday, we saw the Stamps take on the Bulldogs and win that one pretty handily, 38-14. Wasn't until the second half that the Bulldogs started to make that one a little bit closer.
Yeah, it wasn't really a good showing from the Bulldogs, and I think it was a continuation from what we saw in week one, really from both those teams, where, you know, in week one, the Stampeders rolled the Eagles, who we ended up finding out they didn't have their starting quarterback. A little bit more on that for their game. But yeah, the Bulldogs, again, 2 weeks in a row where they're on the losing side of things, where it wasn't the prettiest of scores, giving up 38 actually in both games. So a little bit of work and turnaround for the Bulldogs. They do have the longer week because they did play Thursday. So hopefully they can try to figure some things out, because with our new playoff format for this year only, because of the 11 teams, they are in need of some work if they want to make the Div 1 playoff bracket.
Yeah, and it was tough to start the season the way they did with, playing the late game on week one, having that game end with a couple of fairly serious injuries, and then having the quick turnaround with the short week, playing on Thursday in week two. So a tough start for the Bulldogs. Hopefully they can work out their issues and get back into game shape for the remainder of the season. But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. It's still early in the season. We're still, players are still getting settled in and stuff. So it's hard to get a good judge of things, but it is kind of looking like we're getting a bit of a breakout group. We still have a few weeks to go, so it'll be interesting to see how things develop between now and October 19th, which is the last day of our regular season.
Right. So, and for the Stamps, they looked good. So they're firing on all cylinders. And Coach Dave Hardy was away. I think it's the first game he's missed. He had to travel back east, I believe. So the assistant coaches took over the reins for this one and did a very, very good job of having their team ready to play. And looking like the Stampeders that we expect to see week in, week out.
Yeah. No, 100%. And it's going to be interesting to see how both these teams are able to develop. If the Stampeders can keep their own momentum rolling, it's going to be a bit of a tougher challenge for them in week three. Cause they do play the Cowboys in week three, and while the Cowboys aren't looking like the Cowboys that we've come to know over the last couple of years, it could still be a good test for really both teams next week.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be one of the matchups to watch for sure for week three. In the second game, the Eagles, as you mentioned, they were taking on the Lions, and for the first time this year, they had their starting quarterback able to play. So they looked much better than they did in week one, cruising to victory over the Lions by a score of 48-0.
Yeah. Cruising they did. Ethan Renault, he was a select last year, I believe, and he really showed why today. It wasn't great seeing the Eagles throwing the ball as long as they were in the game, but like he was throwing dimes left, right, and center. Like he was not like if the Eagles are dropping balls on passes, it was not due to his throws being errant. Like he
Right.
was giving his receivers beautiful balls all game.
Well,
So
they
do
were
we, yeah.
obviously catching some of those. They were sure putting a lot up on the scoreboard.
But the Lions, on the other hand, did not look the greatest. They did have some players that did shine and did excel in that morning game. But yeah, still looks like they need a fair amount of work. But of course, you know, a tough schedule to start, starting with the Raiders and now the Eagles and getting absolutely dominated in both games. Hopefully, they can have a better turnaround for week three.
Well, they've got a tough matchup to look forward to against the Mavericks in week three, who are nicely rested after getting the bye in week two.
Wildcats had the bye in week two, not the Mavericks.
Oh, well, I am mixing up my orange teams. Please forgive me. So that one might be a little more of an even matchup.
Then we go to our afternoon game, because we only had one at the 1:30 time slot, whereas most of our weeks this week we have two. Now, just featuring the team that James thought had a bye, the Mavericks, who ended up getting shut out by the Colts. I guess just kind of shut out Saturday. I don't know. We missed a game. I want to backtrack. We had our best game of the day at the 11 o'clock time slot because I know what game three was.
Yeah, game three was the Cowboys taking on the Rebels.
I'm used to the 11 o'clock game slot being the second game of the week, not the third game of the week. So it
True.
threw me off. Yeah, Cowboys and Rebels, and that was the best game of the week by far. It was the closest scoring game that we had. It started off with a bit of a surprise. The Rebels actually got up and held the lead. They held a 6-1 lead for pretty much almost the entire first half. It was right late in the first half that the Cowboys finally started to click and get going. So it pretty much took 6 quarters for the Cowboys to finally get some form of life, and get a bit of a kickstart, and they did score. They put up 23 points to the Rebels 13. The Rebels end up scoring late in the fourth quarter. But it was a good match all around from both teams. Much better than what we saw last week from the Cowboys, for sure.
Yeah, certainly, like you said, definitely a better effort in the second half, and they look like they're starting to form into shape, and will be a force to be reckoned with for the rest of the season. The
Well, and I
Rebels, on
was,
the other hand, they're exciting to watch. They're going to surprise some teams going forward, and if you're not prepared, you will pay the price.
No, 100%. Like the
Yeah, they're going to
Rebels.
get some victories this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, they already got one last week, but yeah, the Rebels look a lot better. I don't know how much of that's due to the Hilltoppers playing players being within the team, but just like numbers wise, they have a good set of numbers, pulling from both those areas and stuff. And it just looks good. Like we haven't seen the Rebels look like this in quite a few years.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's great to watch. And as their social media pointed out, the last year the Cowboys beat the Rebels like 64 to nothing, and they beat the Hilltoppers 46 to nothing. So however you slice it, this is a huge step forward for all those kids playing on that team this year. They have made great strides, and kudos to them and the coaching staff for getting them into this position of respectability.
No, 100%. And yeah, but one thing that I noticed during, because I ended up doing a bit of stat keeping during the game. Let me just find it here real quick. Based off of something that we're kind of taking on as a separate project and trying to backfill our website. That's not the right spreadsheet. I did. I went through a spreadsheet, and it was the Raider or the Rebels got 6 points last year. I think they got 28 the year before, so that would have been 2022. They got 75 in 2021, and they got 200 and something in 2019. I'm not saying
Wow.
that they're going to push that 219 points for mark because they were also 5-2 that season. But in the first two games this season, they have nearly outscored their entirety of 2023 and 2022 combined.
That's amazing.
It's a great turnaround to see. And we will probably be hyping this up as the season goes on. So I apologize to all non-Rebels people who will get tired of this eventually, but it is really nice to see.
Yeah, well, you turn your franchise around like they have so far, and we'll be hyping you too.
Oh, 100%.
So game four, as you were alluding to, the Mavericks,
In our shutout Saturday.
not the on the bye Wildcats, but the Mavericks played against the Colts today. And the Colts are looking very, very strong. They came away with another victory today. 33-0 was the score.
Yeah, and it was again just another like they rolled from their performance late on Saturday last week where they beat up on the Bulldogs. The Colts are a hard hitting team this year. I think that's one thing between the we noticed between the Colts and the Bulldogs is they're both hard hitting teams.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Colts were lights out against the Mavericks. You know, they won ended up winning that one 33-0, and it was just. Just another top tier performance from the team in blue.
Yeah, so I think there might have been some substitutions for the second half, but the Mavericks definitely played a solid game defensively in the second half. They made some they forced some turnovers. They took the ball away, and they kept the Colts off the score sheet for the entire second half. So that is promising for them. I think that's something that they can build on when they're looking towards next week and the rest of the season.
So something I was mentioning in our Bantam football trailer after the last game today was looking at the schedule heading into this week at the five games. Out of the ones that were played today, the one that didn't have a shutout was the only one that I would have thought going into this season would have had the shutout based off of what happened last year. Because we
Yeah.
end up posting three shutouts today, the first game, the third game, and the fourth game. And surprisingly, one of those games was not the Cowboys and Rebels.
Right.
But again, it shows the backtracking shows the turnaround of both of these clubs this year.
Yeah.
And on that segue for shutouts, our fifth and final game of the week, our fourth today, the Raiders shutting out the Chiefs by a score of 55-0.
Yeah, our first look at the Chiefs this year, so we weren't quite sure what to expect, but we, having seen the Raiders play last week, we know that they're, I heard somebody use the word elite today, and I think that's probably pretty appropriate. They looked extremely strong from the get-go. They were playing very well on
All sides of the ball.
all sides of the ball, special teams, offense, defense. It was all clicking. Steve Kemp and his coaching staff have done an amazing job. So kudos to them.
Well, it's
We'll get a selfie with you guys eventually, I'm sure.
talking with Coach Kemp and stuff before the game, and it's they weren't coaching to run up the score. And it's like You look at it and you see the score and it's like, okay, it's not great to see week in, week out, right? But it's you have kids like Devani Brown, the
Yeah.
running back. I apologize for that first name being wrong. He's an exceptional and an elite athlete, and it's you can't tell the kid to, not play. Right, because these kids are here to develop and get better for, high school football, university,
Yeah, they've got
next
their
levels type thing, right?
futures
So
to think
it's,
about.
yeah. So it's, you can't just, okay, you scored three touchdowns in the first quarter. Now sit there for the next three, right? It's not fair, but again, it's not fair for the other side going, okay, well, we just gave out 55 points. But you did see there was a lot of rotation from the Raiders and stuff, like they were trying to get their second, third stringers, whatever, in as the game went on.
Yeah.
There was a really good class act and sportsmanship play from Coach Kemp in the fourth quarter of that game because the Chiefs were out of timeouts and they realized that there was an issue offensively with either the personnel or something, and one of their players tried to call a timeout, but they didn't have any, so the referees were going to let play on. And Coach Kemp burned his last timeout to help the
Yeah.
Chiefs out in that situation. And, even talking at halftime with Coach Kemp again, it was he's like, I feel bad because I'm cheering for the other team at times, because like there were so many
Yeah.
times when the Chiefs, looked like they had this great play that was breaking out and developing, 40-yard pass, receiver wide open, drops the ball.
Yeah. Or
And it's like
they
you're standing there, it's like, yes, he's gonna catch, he's gonna catch it. Oh.
would make a good play and make, a first down and a lot more yards, but it gets called back on a penalty.
Yeah. So I was like, the coaching staff on the Raiders was cheering for when the Chiefs were making plays,
Yeah.
which you don't usually see happen in games and stuff, but it shows you, everyone wants to see everyone succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just, us as the league who are hopeful for more, what's the word? Competitive games. Everybody wants competitive games, whether you're on the winning side or the losing side. You would like it to be more competitive. So I know they were calling plays not to score. But the kids were breaking them loose and scoring anyways, and there's not much you can do about that when there's, that much talent on your side and maybe a bit of a lack on the other sideline. It also bears noting that the Chiefs had a coaching change this year. So Chris Bailey has left his position as head coach of the Chiefs and has been good enough to join us on the sideline, helping the CBFA and the league with assessing talent for the selects and choosing the player of the game and that sort of thing. So we're happy as heck to have him. He is an incredible football mind, and it's going to leave a void for the Chiefs to try and fill. So they're probably going to struggle for a little bit, but I'm sure they'll still get some, he's in touch with the organization. He'll be able to give them some pointers and tips, and he's still familiar with most of the players in that organization. So I'm sure he will continue to speak with them and try and help out where he can, but he's not the coach anymore. So they will have to figure that out on their own.
The other thing I noticed too is it's the Chiefs like that they have the fewest players compared to any other team in the league right now.
Yeah.
Which you could see every time an offense was on the field or a defense was on the field, the bench looked short.
Yes.
And that's not the case for pretty much every single other team right now. So that's also going to hurt and hinder them. And again, it was week one for the Chiefs this week. They had the bye last week, so it's
Yeah.
their first, test of games since Jamboree,
Exactly.
and Jamboree you can't really take fully
No.
for granted, right? And it's,
No.
the unfortunateness of their schedule, they end up getting probably one of the top two teams in Bantam football right now.
Right, exactly. And it's a tough way to start the season, but things will improve with time. Looking ahead to week three, the Chiefs are opening up against the Bulldogs, so that'll probably be a good test for both teams.
I think all our games next week are actually going to be really good ones.
Yeah, it looks like it's matchup Saturday. These are some great matchups. In game two, the Wildcats take on the Colts. That's going to be, a couple of heavy hitters going at it. Game three, the Stamps and the Cowboys, as you mentioned before, that's going to be one of those games that you don't want to miss. Then the Eagles take on the Raiders. The Raiders, of course, are looking like, well, not just provincial hopefuls, but they might be looking like the provincial favorites right now in Bantam. And the Eagles, while they had a rough go in week one with their starting quarterback, we'll see if they can make some headway against that Raiders defense. I expect the Raiders to win that one, but I think the Eagles are going to give them more of a fight than they've seen so far this season for sure. And then in the final game, as we mentioned, the Lions are taking on the Mavericks.
Well, I think like one of the more important things to note is, like, we look at the first 2 weeks, and you have what, three teams are 1-1, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Rebels, and they're the Colts, Stampeders, and Raiders have all played, the Bulldogs, Mavericks, Lions, Chiefs, right? Like, it's the top half has played the bottom half so far in the standing. So it's not, I feel like we haven't really had a good test of, where are these teams? Because we were getting a lot of those lopsided scores.
Right.
Whereas this week, Bulldogs Chiefs is that first game, they're both winless so far. Okay, so how are they going to match up against each other? Who's going to actually look, come away with this one, look better? Next game example again, Colts and Wildcats both undefeated going into this game. Wildcats have the bye, and they played the Cowboys, who, haven't looked the greatest. So, how are those teams going to match up against each other? Was the Wildcats win, more of a fluke just because the Cowboys were not as good as we were expecting, or are the Wildcats that dominant this year? So, same thing for Cowboys, Stampeders. I think all five of our games this week are going to be good tells
Yep.
of where these teams are sitting this year.
Yeah, the five games, five compelling matchups, and the only thing that disappoints me is that we're going to have to watch one of the Stamps and Cowboys or the Eagles and Raiders because they're running at the same time. We won't be able to watch both.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll probably watch the one that you're not at just
Probably
so
a good
we can
idea.
at least have some eyes on both.
Probably a good idea. But no, so like it's gonna be a really good week. I think this is gonna be a really crucial week for all teams, especially what I mentioned earlier, we have that different playoff format this year. Because of the bye weeks that everybody's having, we got rid of that quarterfinal. So that's now an extra regular season week. That quarterfinal was previously used to determine, the four winning teams would go on to the Div 1 playoff bracket, the four losers would go off to the Div 2 playoff bracket. And then our bottom four this year, bottom three, would go into the Div 3 bracket right away. But this year, we got rid of that quarterfinal stage. So it's going to be top four go into one, top, middle four go into two, and the bottom three will go into three directly. So it's going to be a good test of, where are we sitting? Where are the pegs heading? Type thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So that's our our recap and look ahead for week two and three here. Have we got any more, any new info to pass along?
More just the usual, our Bantam takeover is coming up soon with the CFL Stampeders. That goes the 14th of September. I think the winning teams are selected and known on the 12th. Of course, Labor Day Classic Monday. And Gordy's play of the week. Please use a hashtag because we like no one used the hashtag last for week one. It
Hashtag
makes it a
Gordy's
lot
play of the
easier.
week. Make sure it's in your post.
Yeah. Hashtag Gordy's play of the week. Tag at CBFAPR. Post it. Don't DM us. I mean, you can DM us. It worked too. And yeah, because there's new swag for Gordy's play of the week. It was actually featured on our Instagram already. It's a hoodie.
You can win a hoodie just for sending in
And
some photos.
we recommend sizing one up because kids think for now and not for later.
It's true.
So, like our winner today, the Colts, I think he wanted a medium hoodie, but then Dan's like, yeah, our smallest is a large. But he'll grow into it at some point in time. So yeah, when you're asking for your hoodies, make sure or you, if you are one of the lucky few that win it throughout the year, size up.
And that,
Especially if you're in that small and medium
yeah,
range. Our smallest is a large.
at least at this point. He'll grow into it later, but for now he
Yeah.
can wear it over his pads.
Oh, 100%. And then we have Gordy's food drive coming up in October. It's during Thanksgiving long weekend, but that's still a bit away, so we'll cover that closer to.
Yeah, and yeah, coming up also October, the breast cancer awareness campaign.
Once again, we'll cover closer to more like towards the end of September.
Yeah, at this point, right now, the website is working properly. It's showing the scores in the banner across the top, and it's showing the updated standings. So in Brock Jacobs right now, the Colts are leading, tied with the Stampeders actually for the lead in that Brock Jacobs division. And in the Ken Toone division, the Raiders currently stand alone.
And they might stand alone.
Yeah, they're looking like world beaters right now. So good on them.
Little bit.
Keep it up.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good sum of week two.
There we go. Short and sweet. We'll wrap it up here. Thanks again, Cole, and we will catch everybody next week. Make sure you get down to Schold Ice Park for the games. There's going to be some great games to watch next week. Don't want to miss them.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Finally, remember to bring water and snacks to Schold Ice Park on game day. We look forward to the return of Superfan Snacks. For now, they remain closed. Thanks for listening.